Blog Talk Radio.
The proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me. I said the proof is in the scriptures. Shalom to all my brothers and sisters the world over. Blessed to be experiencing the greatness of Yah. It's good knowing Yah. I'm from Tacoma and always seeking the fellowship for the reason of knowing the difference of Hebrew and Eve. And I'm reaching out to y'all. Hit me up on the cell. Write me an email, but keep the knowledge on the DL. You know they listening to our transmissions, but only key words catch their attention. So speak to me in the code unknown to these soulless monkeys. Let the game unfold, we gon' show these. They can't stop us from learning the true words of Yah. Even though they keep a secrets up in Vatican City, I want the spirit of wisdom and understanding up in me. Give praise to Yah if you feel me. What I need right now from you is a scripture too. We got a lot of work to do. I'm trying to gain some Bible knowledge tonight, cause admit we ain't alright. So won't you come and study with me? We in the last days of living. That's the way I'm feeling, but the proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me. If you just feel no sign, stop the fussing. We can solve it all with the Torah. Come and study with me. Those that speak about Yah are written in the book of remembrance. So why you waiting? Come and study with me. We have been bamboozled, everything that fools do. Some Hebrews are gapping, act like it's usual activities of life, but then they learn the wrong teaching. Those of us in them Yah should start speaking up. They beating us. Look what they knocking on doors with their negative knowledge. They are recruiting. I know the scriptures say only a remnant will make it, but it's hard standing still knowing the punishments they facing. I'm sick of these masons using their black magic to control how my people are thinking. It's tragic. That's why we need to sit down, combine thoughts, write up some literature, and spread it around. There's a plague out there, and only Yah can cure. And if we witness to our people, then there won't be no more. They have to suffer for giving praises to the many false deities this beast has created. I show hate. I'm trying to gain some Bible knowledge tonight, cause admit we ain't alright. So won't you come and study with me? We in the last days of living. That's the way I'm feeling, but the proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me. If you just feel no sign, stop the fussing. We can talk it all with the Torah. Come and study with me. Don't just speak about Yah are written in the book of remembrance. So while you waiting, come and study with me. I'm trying to gain some Bible knowledge tonight, cause admit we ain't alright. So won't you come and study with me? We in the last days of living. That's the way I'm feeling, but the proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me. If you just feel no sign, stop the fussing. We can talk it all with the Torah. Come and study with me. Those that speak about Yah are written in the book of remembrance. So while you waiting, come and study with me. I've been called everything from a blasphemist to a constitutionalist, new revolutionist. I know they ready to label me as a terrorist, cause I ain't too big on calling myself American. I'm a Hebrew, descendant of Shem, all the way down to Jacob. I'm living for them. Y'all gave a law to Moses and said it would never end, but in 2003, we still living in sin, and it's a shame. It's not like we can't change. Instead of trying to learn the scriptures, we live them in vain. So many habits in our brain that we won't let go. Then we teach them to our children, continuing the cycle. I can't stand these Muslims, Christians and Jews that don't pay close attention to the things they do. But since we know a little better than them, we need to use these computers and start writing letters to them. I'm come trying on to gain some Bible knowledge tonight, cause admit we ain't alright. So won't you come and study with me? We in the last days of living. That's the way I'm feeling, but the proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me. If you just feel no sign, stop the fussing. We can solve it all with the Torah. Come and study with me. Those that speak about Yah are written in the book of remembrance. So while you waiting, come and study with me. Come and study with me. I said the proof is in the scriptures. The proof is in the scriptures. Come and study with me.
Heavenly Father, please have mercy on our souls. Make them a blessing, cause paganistic ways take control of our minds. Doing the things you told us not to do, unaware that they were sins, and I swear that we never knew. And the only name you have is Yahweh, Elohim, Holy Creator, King of all kings. We were raised to be Baptists, followers of the white Son of God, whose children attacked us. doing the things that won't attract you. Breaking your commandments, eating pig and getting tattooed. And we got a lot of nerve, for 6 days you work. But your 7 day we don't deserve. And even though we live in shallow way, we got a land full of black folks celebrating holidays. And our real heritage we forgot. God Most High, please forgive us, cause we know not. If each one, teach one, we'll be better off. But the things we are taught is the reason we have lost. We've been in captivity for generations, loving our enemy when he's the one we should be hating. He's got a sin in every day, and it's a habit to lie, steal, and get blown away. And we mixing with the other races, cutting the hair off our heads and the beards off our faces. But the heathen ain't to blame, we are finding material love and gold and cars. So what we gonna do? We need to stand up now and tell the Gentiles it's all through. Let them know that we ain't taking it no more. And fighting for the blackness is something to kill for. Let's do it now. We can't wait any longer. Around this pagan, we won't get any stronger. And it's gonna take everything we got to ask the Elohim to forgive us. Cause we know not. Attention to this Northwestern Black Hebrew Israelite revolution music. Metro cruising down the hood, too. Sipping the good brew, scratching your head, cause I'm telling you things that you never knew. And what I teach ain't make believe, because of changes made to the Bible. You don't recognize the Elohim. Heathen, get your crew, cause I got mine. Breaking all of your laws, there's not a fine in your book. Big enough to convict us. We hope God can kick the boogeyman, try to get us. Let me tend to offend you, cause I'm not gonna deal with the evil that men do any longer. Every day reading up the Bible is what I do, instead of worshiping your paganistic idol. Blessed be the land of Israel, see a return, but in the meantime we dwell in a curse. It's time to repent for your sins, knowingly and unknowingly, all ye sinful kin. But don't call upon the wrong name, messing with the power of Yah ain't a game. And there's no church needed to learn, just a lot of common sense and the will to make your Bible pages turn. Shalom to all true black Hebrew Israelites through the east, may the tribes reunite. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Welcome to African Aramean Scriptures. Shavuot Tov. Tonight, this Erev Yom Shamash, we will continue our discussion, our lecture on Mashiach, or Messiah. This is our third part. And we covered last week Messiah as priest, a prophet, and judge. In this installment, we will discuss him as bearer of the scepter, Messiah as the returning of the Messiah, him as the son of Yah again. These features we intend to explore to a significant depth that should reflect the Hebraic awareness or understanding of who Messiah would be, what Messiah would accomplish in the world and in the whole universe. Most properly, he is the Son of the Most High and is judge, ruler of the world, and a destroyer of the governments currently ruling in our age. Now, the Messiah, in the context, you can see in the book of Yohanan, that is the book of John. So, if you don't know, that's the Hebrew pronunciation, Yohanan. Chapter 8, verse 58, Yeshua said to his disciples, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones and threw at him, but Yahushua hid himself and went out of the temple. So he was with his disciples, and he was speaking to an audience, and they were contending with him about the validity of his message, and he's saying, "Before Abraham was, I am." Now we know this in the Hebrew, that is ani or anki, and he's saying I, and I used this way is as a euphemism for deity. This is another peculiar euphemism. He's saying I'm the Most High right here. That's why they picked up stones to throw at him, because he basically said I am Yod Heh Vav Heh, I'm Yahweh. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, we'll cover this theme of the Advent of Messiah as ancient, just like we did in the previous passage. He said he was before Abraham. That means he's ancient days. Here it is, Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. "As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire." This is awesome. Now, Yeshua would say when he was on trial before Annas, the high priest, that he would sit on a throne, he would return sitting on a throne, and that he would be in judgment. And when we see the color of white, because white is the color of judgment, we know that he is the white head, which any of you who study Kabbalah, you know, to an extent are familiar with the white head concept. The flames, we know about the flames of judgment, his anger, his throne is fire, and it has wheels. And we can probably throw that back to the book of Ezekiel, where Ezekiel sees the Most High on a throne with wheels. So Daniel sees the same thing. He sees a throne with wheels on it, and he identifies this person as the Ancient of Days. So we know who the Ancient of Days is. The Ancient of Days is HaMashiach or HaMashiach. Mashiach, that's Aramaic pronunciation. They don't use the furtive patah on the terminal chet. And so I prefer the Aramaic pronunciation because it doesn't follow, it's a different grammatic. But anyway, and we'll go on to another one in the book of Lucas, or book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 18. In this passage, Yeshua sends 72 disciples to go out and preach, and come, and they came back and they gave a report. Here it is. "The 72 returned with joy, saying, 'Master, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the adversary, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" Now, this is Yeshua, who people are debating about. They can't make up their minds, understand. I'm relating how everything he's saying is relating to what the Messiah would be and what the Messiah should know. He says that, at least the disciples, 72 disciples, and from that segment, they were rejoicing and excited that they had power over the demons that people were afraid of, had been plagued by, and he's saying, you know what, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You think that's something? I seen Satan fall. Which, you know what I'm saying? So they are boasting, and, you know, he has, you know, basically, you know, this is a, you know, he's one-upping them. And he go ahead, he just, you know, aside from that, you know, that's good. I'm glad y'all are happy about that, but I've given you authority to walk on serpents. You mean, you know, you got black mambas, all kinds of cobras out there in that part of the world. It's like, you know, you ain't got to worry about that. You can, y'all got power. Y'all can walk on serpents and scorpions. All the poison, all the power of the adversary. That means poison. Serpents represent that. All the poison of the enemy have no effect. Now, we can think about Shaul, Apostle Paul, for those who don't know his Hebrew name, Shaul. He was bitten by a snake on the island of Malta, a poisonous serpent. Bit him in the hand. He shook the snake off, put it in the fire, and the people thought he was a god because he was not affected by the poison, by the serpent. And some people who may be herpetologists out there will say, oh, you know, the snake can decide if he want to release the poison or not. It's up to the snake. Yeah, right. So that gives that actually adds weight to the story that just because they bite, it ain't up to them. It may be up to them, but most likely it's not, because how many people you know been bitten by a poisonous snake and then didn't get injected with some poison? I mean, we don't hear about these cases. We don't know about that. But we do know, but we heard one right here, that the Messiah promised that his faithful, his disciples, his initiates will be not affected once they have, you know, once they have been prepared and they have been set apart, sanctified by the Messiah to do the work that is calling people to repentance, return to the Most High Field of Trembling, and to obey the commandments that it was given in return to the Torah, the teachings that the Most High had given to Moses, which the Messiah upheld in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. He said, I have not come to destroy the laws, the commandments that were given to you by Moshe, but I came to fulfill them or uphold them, to bring them clarity. Okay, now, and the last thing from the verse 20, part B, Messiah mentions that you rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So, while that may be happy to you, be most rejoiced that you, basically you ain't going to hell. I mean, that's the way people today think, you know. But it's more to have an inheritance in the world to come, and that your names are written in, inscribed in the heavens, is so much more in that. And that these people who are empowered to do these works are inscribed in heaven, and they're given this authority by the Messiah. So it is most important to be able to recognize the Messiah when you see him, when you hear the teachings, and the teachings of the Messiah will be known by those who have received the teachings of Moshe. Now, we'll move on to the Messiah as king and judge thing, even though the other sections do deal with a little judgment as well. We can hear it. This is Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. This is a prophecy concerning what the Messiah would be. Here it is. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, or Jesse in the English Bibles, and a branch from its roots shall bear fruit. And the spirit of Yahweh, or Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. Now, this is a prophecy about this shoot that'll come forth from the stump. Now, we know the stump is basically the root, the bottom of the tree. So the shoot will come from the root of the tree, and a branch from its roots shall bear fruit. They may be, we know about producing the fruit of the Spirit, those who are more adept at knowledge of what we are to cultivate as we become more mature in our faith and developing the spiritual fruit from being twice born. And we have to cultivate the capacity to express a new nature, the nature, not the fallen nature given to us or that we inherited from being born into sin and in a fallen, corrupt world. But the fruit is indicative of the product of having been reborn and having the new nature. So he the shoot from the stump, the branch from the root will bear fruit. Now that branch from the root, shoot from the stump, those are parallelisms, basically restating and commenting, giving clarity to the previous and the following passages. And we know in verse 2 that the spirit of the Ruach, or Ruach Yahweh, will be up on them. The spirit of Yahweh, so we know that the Ruach HaKodesh will be up on him. That's the masculine singular. We're not talking about just any person, any Messiah. Even though they may say, well, the word Messiah isn't used in this passage. Okay? But this person here will have a special ability. Spirit of wisdom, Chokmah, Bina, wisdom, counsel, and might. Might, we know as Gevura, knowledge, that would be Yada, and fear of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Now, we'll pause here, and we'll prepare ourselves to look at a different section. Oh, and if there anyone online listening in the audience or any of you in the chat room have any questions, the dial-in number is area code 323-580-5707. You can feel free to add any strong numbers or any information that would enhance the program. Now we'll go on to the next verse. Okay. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3 through 5. Now, we did 1 and 2 because it was very meaty. Here it is. And his delight shall be in the fear of Yahweh, he shall not judge what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with equity for the humble of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Now this word rod of his mouth also translated as staff. We're going to get into that later. With the breath of his lips he will kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness will be the belt of his loins. Now, taking Isaiah 11 verses 1 through 5, mashing them all together, which I had to break it up, that the one who will have the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of Yahweh on him, will have this superpower to destroy wicked with his breath. And in Revelation, the Messiah, upon his advent or reappearance, is described as destroying the wicked nations with the word, and the word comes at the mouth. So this is a messianic passage, though the word Mashiach does not appear, and the Mashiach is serves many functions, because we know that judges, priests, kings are all messiahs. And Messiah means to smear with the liquid. If you followed the series through, please go back to part one, where we cover how the ancient Hebrews used the term Messiah, how they understood it, the parent root, and all of that. And from there on, and how the Messiah concept was used. And from there on, we can see who all could be a Messiah, and what is the concept of the Messiah. So there are many Messiahs, but there is one special, unique Messiah. Like there are many sons of God, but there is a unique Son of God. Okay. So we're going to get into the peculiarness of the Messiah, the Son of Yah. As some of our roster brothers out there would say, the Son of Jah. Okay. Now, Psalms chapter 110, verses 1 through 3. Here, this is a very famous passage. I'm sure many of you have heard many times or not. It says, "In Yahweh says to my Adon, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Verse 2, Yahweh sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. Now, some people say, oh, man, this was David. He was talking about that. This is way, David could not fit this description. His enemies were not made in his footstool, in this capacity. Yes, he vanquished many mighty enemies. But to the level, matter of fact, David was run out of Jerusalem by his son Absalom. You know, he barely hung on to his kingdom, and he had to install Solomon as king as part of an illicit agreement he had with Bathsheba, which was a very shady deal. So this is not about David, as many people who want to deny the identity of Yahushua the Messiah, in doing so, they neglect the real history of the decline of David's reign and Solomon's too. Solomon went out bad. He was an apostate king. You can go to 1 Kings verse chapter 11, and you can read all about it. How he was an idolater, and he refused to repent. And then we all know about that. So in the day of the power, and we all know that the day of the appearance is an awesome time when the end of this system will end. And there's some very peculiar idioms here that we won't explore in this episode, in this passage. We probably could do an entire show on the 110th Psalm, which is a very short psalm. And we just may do that one day in the future. But we just want to put this in the context of the Messiah as having this mighty scepter. He got the scepter. He got the rod, the staff. He's coming back. He's gonna come in the holy garments. We just read about the holy garments in Daniel chapter 7 verse 9. He's gonna be clothed in the white holy garment of judgment. So we can connect these things of what the Messiah is doing, what his function is in returning to the world, and doing and establishing an entirely new world order, the kind of order that we all want to see. Okay, now let's look at Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. Here it is. Balaam is in this chapter. Balaam, who is a prophet, he's an Aramean. Balaam is said on, I think, two particular occasions in this book. He is the man with the open eye. Now, I've never heard that idiom used for anybody else in the entire Bible. I've done the search. Nobody else is recorded to having the open eye. We talk about third eye open. Balaam got the third eye open. Now, Balaam tried to prostitute his gift of prophecy, but Most High obstructed him in his desire for wealth. And he became struck down by the Israelite army for that offense. And here is a blessing in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, specifically dealing with this scepter, this rod, this person that's going to come out, this staff. Here it is. It's a very small section here. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but do not fear. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Yisrael, or Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. Now, we're not going to engage in a very thorough analysis of what was going on between the Israelites and the Moabites at the time, but we do know that the Moabite king Balak was being hired to, the Moabite king Balak hired Balaam to curse the Israelites. And here Balaam is actually prophesying that the Moabites are the ones who will be cursed, because he's saying right here, you know, it shall crush the forehead of Moab. What will crush the forehead? The scepter, the rod that's going to rise up out of Israel, will crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Seth. Now, this particular rod or scepter theme, it doesn't end, and it is peculiar. Here it is, Genesis 49 and 10. This is in this passage here, Jacob, that is Jacob, he was giving the blessings to his son, and when he gets to Judah or Yehuda, this is the blessing. He says, the scepter will not depart from Yehuda, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. That's a very, you know, sanitized version, in that I would say section 10A. It literally reads in the Hebrew, well, I'm not going to read it to say the Hebrew words, but it says the rod, the staff, will not depart from Judah, another ruler's staff, from between his feet. Now, everybody know about the rod between the feet of a man. We know what that is. So the staff and the rod is not merely it's not only exclusively a symbol carried like Moses had a staff. He carried a stick that had mystical inscriptions on it and made from a specific substance. Like, I could probably get into another discussion when I would demonstrate how that staff was made out of sapphire that Moses had, and we can go into that another time. But and Aaron's staff was made out of wood. He had a different staff, but they carried staffs. But in this particular passage, the staff was used as a metaphor in the second verse for his penis. So not necessarily the Messiah exclusively, but between Judah's feet. And though Judah had the staff, the Messiah would be the one to have the staff. He got it above, and the Messiah would come forth from the tribe of Judah as a descendant of Judah. So that's how it works. Now the word for this rod, staff, scepter is Strong's number 7625, and it is Shebet. It's spelled Shin Bet Tet. Tet. Most people recognize the letter as Tet, and it is it's a masculine noun, and the definitions that they usually most common translations, English translations, rod, club, staff, scepter, and lastly tribe. Okay. Okay, and right. Okay, and before what we'll do is we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll discuss the Messiah and his returning and his identity, and how he plans to how he stated who he is in his own identity. We'll be right back after this break. Listen in to African Conversations on the African Knowledge Network, where we will converse with researchers about matters significant to the African diaspora community. Join us on Facebook on the African Conversations community page. Enjoy the dialogue on African Conversations on blogtalkradio.com.
African Knowledge Beyond the Book appears every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are a literary society dedicated to the study of African-based psychoanalytical texts. We hope you will join us as we delve into the inner working of our African consciousness. African Knowledge Beyond the Book, every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com.
Welcome to AfricanImpressions.com. African Impressions is a black-owned business that offers products made by the global African community. African Impressions offers the finest in African-made jewelry, craft, clothing, and so much more. As the renaissance of the African community rapidly approaches, you need to add acquiring products crafted by members of the global African family to your repertoire of activities. We must rediscover more of our ancient cultural habits, which we struggle to regain, and incorporate them into our daily lives. Support African craftsmen and women by shopping at AfricanImpressions.com today. Hope to see you there.
Listen to Love in Black with Charles and Jolivet on the Tribal Family Station on blogtalkradio.com.
There we will share our experiences and our insights on marriage and love, sex, respect, and honor. We're on every Thursday evening on the Tribal Family Station. The Woman's Song Community Experience is an extension of the Woman's Song Facebook community. Woman's Song was created with the mission to promote sisterhood and solidarity amongst women of color the world over. The Community Experience radio broadcast is an outreach effort to bring lecturers, authors, healers, spiritualists, and others with the necessary information to assist us in our campaign to repair ourselves. Our community is in dire need of reformation. During this Renaissance period of awareness, we will honor the womb man, and we seek to bridge the gap of understanding, love, and the upliftment of our sisters in crisis. Will you join us? We need your help in bringing this new awakening to all who desire its enlightenment. Become a part of our commitment to elevation as we work together to lift the divine earth to their rightful places. Woman Song. She's singing.
For the masses across the continent of Yah, he hears us crying. It's only a matter of time before we release the bondage. But in the meantime, take heed to his instructions and ready your mental. I'll break bread with few. Just cause you black don't mean that you Hebrew. This is covenant house. Rule number one, if you ain't really down for Yahweh, stop running your mouth. Number two, we witnesses, let it be known. Post a real big sign on the front of your home. Of course the heathens gon' catch you, that's to be expected. Just quote them some Bible verses and bounce, but don't sweat it. Rule number three, be about the Torah, but don't just know them, make them your life. No discussion, only Yahweh is right. Created for the 12 tribes of Israelite. Black words to the east, that's where we used to live. Now we in America doing the biz. This year make a holy path for you and your kids. With no fear, by nature that's just the way that we is. I was given a vision, making music for y'all, the only reason I'm living. Motivation for the young black Israelite children. What they need is revolution, not these dreams you selling. Everything in kosher, this land we dwelling. Making music for y'all, the only reason I'm living. Motivation for the young black Israelite children. What they need is revolution, not these dreams you selling. In this land we dwelling. Stop entertaining this world with our adaptive wickedness. Do understand that we will be judged for the things we do. So let's be wise with our life decisions. So youngsters, the next time the heathen attempts to bribe you with its levels of Babylon, be strong and repeat this to him. I'm destined to be a winner from birth. You can't stop me. Look at how my skin color matches the dirt. I'm Adam. Matter of fact, I'm the whole Old Testament. How you gonna define me with some scientific measurement? How you gonna rename Emmanuel? When I see your pale face, I ain't standing still. You heathen, you broke me down and told me differently. Got me in store with my history meant to me. As for my future, I can give a damn about. I leave my woman to demand my house so I can run these streets of Lucifer. We zombies, not realizing they no good for us. But if you sell crack, then you blind to the fact that dope money you make, God didn't give you that. If you wanna make it right, then sprinkle it back into the hood in a positive way. That's why I rap about Yahweh. Making music for y'all, the only reason I'm living. Motivation for the young black Israelite children. What they need is revolution, not the dreams you selling. Everything ain't bullshit, this land we dwelling. Making music for y'all, the only reason I'm living. Motivation for the young black Israelite children. What they need is revolution, not the dreams you selling. I was given a vision, making music for y'all, the only reason I'm living. Motivation for the young black Israelite children. What they need is revolution, not these dreams you selling. Everything ain't kosher in this land we dwelling. Making music for y'all, the only reason I'm living. Motivation for the young black Israelite children. What they need is revolution, not these dreams you selling. In this land we dwelling.
My life is in a world of confusion. Keeping my faith, but the wicked want me choosing. And I done slipped a time or two. It ain't nothing new. Things that you've been through, I've been through. Ain't it a terrible thing? It's a nation we ain't growing. The sins that our fathers knew, we still knowing. The past they took, we still taking. Without thinking of the laws that God gave us during the time of Moses. I know I ain't the one to speak on it, but I should be. Cause John said, witness to those that you love truly. Who, me? Prophet or priest? Nah, I'm just a servant who loves Yahweh and his people. Humble me permanently. Close to the Most High, I'm yearning to be. A better black Hebrew is what I'm learning to be. But sometimes I feel alone in these struggles of life. When you're surrounded by wrong, it's hard trying to be right. So tell me, what does it all mean? Because the glory of Yah is never seen. My people can't form a team. I'm stressing trying to figure it out. I really want to know what I'm living about. Yah, tell me, please, what does it all mean? Because the glory of Yah is never seen. My people can't form a team. I'm stressing trying to figure it out. I really want to know what I'm living about. Yah, tell me, please, what does it all mean? It takes the glory of Yah to be seen on earth. For us to want to unify, man, that really hurts. I can't believe how simple we is. Y'all put us back in the dirt. Make it so you never formed us. We ain't worthy of your blessings. We know the answers, but we still ask questions. We still testing your words, take you for granted. For instance, we know that Saturday is the Sabbath, but we still profane it and claim we do it out of habit. That's total disrespect if you're asking me. My homeboys see my beard and they laugh at me. But when I diss Jesus, they say it's blasphemy. When I tell them stop eating pork, they cut a bigger piece. I quote the scriptures to them, they still not feeling me. I can't leave it alone, that's too much zealot me. But talking to these dead Jacob, it's just killing me. What does it all mean? I'm telling you, man, I'm tired of this. I'm overwhelmed by all this nonsense around me. All I want to do is go home. Yeah, I understand it's just punishment for the many years of abusing Yah's word. But I'm frustrated with captivity. I work hard but don't see the benefits. I go to school to get out of working hard, only to graduate to more stress.
And the cold thing about it all is that my own people act more filthy than this Gentile. That's why I say that just because your skin is black, that don't mean you're Israelite. Because if we was all Hebrews, we would have pulled together our resources and our energy and bettered ourselves as a nation. We would have cried out to y'all together and begged you to make known to us the purpose of our life. But as long as we stay divided, we won't suffer. So I guess I pray to y'all myself then. Y'all post, I beg of you, please tell me, what does it all mean?
What does it all mean? Because the glory of Yah is never seen. My people can't form a team. I'm stressing trying to figure it out. I really want to know what I'm living about. Yah, tell me, please, what does it all mean? Because the glory of Yah is never seen. My people can't form a team. I'm stressing trying to figure it out. I really want to know what I'm living about. Yah, tell me, please.
All right, welcome back. Hope y'all enjoyed that musical break. That was the brother Azarel from Tacoma, Washington. You know, y'all can go visit his website at azarel.com. That's A-Z-A-R-E-L.com. Hosted by CD Baby. And you can check out his albums or CDs over there now. The next passage we'll go into, we're going to read quotes from Yahushua again. We read a few in the previous segment. And in this segment, we're going to deal with his testimony while he was on trial. And this one, he's on trial before Pilate, the Roman judge or governor, who the Judeans took him. They basically was a foreign, foreign colonial government who the people have, you know, submitted to, and he has to deal with the charge that he's considered a king, and Caesar is whom everyone is forced to recognize as king. But Yeshua, being the true king, not only of the nation but of all creation, and he is testifying to the type of kingdom that he has here. This is Matthew chapter 25. I gotta write this down. It's all my fault. It says, so Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Yeshua and said to him, "Are you the king of the Judeans or the Jews?" And Yeshua answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" That's what Yeshua's answer. "Are you saying this, or who told you that?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" He's avoiding the question. Pilate's not answering. So Yeshua answered, said, "My kingdom is not of this world. And if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Yehudim. But my kingdom is not of this world." So we covered in part two how the Messiah's kingdom is coming from the skies, that is the heavens, the upper heavens. We'll do another episode about the skies, the heavens. There are 10 levels, and we'll cover that. Total biblical reference and everything. And he's saying that if it was here, he wouldn't be standing before you. He's saying, "I wouldn't be standing talking to you, Pilate, if my kingdom was here. Because we'd have been fighting. We'd have been..." And this deals with all the people thinking about, you know, Yeshua's message about non-fighting. He ain't say nothing about no non-fighting and all this, you know, when dealing with enemies. He was saying, turn other cheek to your neighbor, your brother. In other words, be long-suffering. You only got two cheeks, so he only got two times to treat you, you know, bad, you know. So ain't no third cheek. And here he's talking to a foreign king, and what did he tell him? We'd have been fighting you. So is the Most High, the Son of Yah, is he about warfare? Most certainly he's a warrior. He's a warrior king. He's a warrior prophet. He's a warrior seer. All right, now, let's move on to the appearance again. Matthew 26, starting at verse 62. He says, and the high priest stood up and said, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? Now, this is a Yeshua, or Jesus, on trial before the high priest. That's before he goes to see Pilate. And he says, but Yeshua remained silent, and the high priest said to him, I encourage you by the living God, tell us if you are HaMashiach, or the Christ, the Son of God. That's a peculiar question. But for people today who think that the Messiah, the Son of God, can't stand before me, you know, stand here and walk around on the earth. And Yeshua said to him, you have said so. That's his answer. You said it. But I tell you from now on, from this point on, you will see the Son of Man seated on the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. This is something, he didn't contradict him by saying, you have said so. That's not a contradiction. That's an admission to the statement. And he's saying the Son of Man, in Hebrew, that is the Son Ben Adam, seated on the right hand of Geburah, the power. Now, we just read in the previous segment, Psalms 110, verse 3 and 4, where he said, sit at my right hand while I put your enemies under your footstool. David prophesied that, and here the Messiah is saying here in the book of Matthew, he said, this is the position I'm going to hold. We read Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, where he said, he saw the Ancient of Days sitting on the throne, clothed in a white garment, and coming on the throne with wheels and fire in his eyes. So, though all that's messianic, some of y'all think, here we go. And to bring it all home, Proverbs chapter 30, verses 1 through 4. Here's the Proverbs was not written exclusively by Solomon, contrary to popular belief. There was a compilation. Many of the Psalms are written, Proverbs are written by Solomon. And there are Psalms written by Solomon as well, and other prophets and seers. Here we go. The words of Agur, son of Yake, the oracle. So this man here is basically calling him an oracle. Basically, he's a seer or a prophet. But this man is termed the oracle. The man declares, I am weary, O God. I am weary, O God, and worn out. Surely I am too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom. You got a wisdom and understanding, parallel. Wisdom is feminine and understanding is masculine. Being on Hokmah. Nor have I learned, have I knowledge of the Holy One. Knowledge is the central column. That's Yada. Who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gone to heaven and come back down again? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has wrapped the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Surely you know. So basically this is to say it in ultimate sarcasm to all of the sages in his era who were, we would call them atheists, those who did not fear God or challenge the power of God by their, even by their actions, by negligence of the Torah and negligence of the rituals. He's saying, well, you know, he's saying basically, you know, hey, you know, perhaps I'm too stupid. You know, I'm not so smart. I don't have understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom. Oh, you know, and so he proposed this riddle. And he proposed this riddle to these people, these detractors, we would call them, obviously from what we're reading, they were, I guess they were atheists in their day too. Or just people who were, who did not worship Yahweh anymore. They decided to follow other deities. And now we have, what is his name? What is his son's name? And so we know there's only one person capable of wrapping wind in the fist, making a garment out of water, and establishing the ends of the earth. Ain't nobody else did it. Everybody knows only the Creator has done those things or is capable of doing those things. And so here we know that the Creator has a unique son. Now we know that many men make prayers in the scriptures. They refer to God as Father, and you can read throughout, particularly in the book of Job or in Genesis chapter 6, where angels or beings are referred to as sons of God. But the Messiah or the prophet is a peculiar person. He is the son. He is the one whose name was unknown at that time. At the time of the writing of that particular proverb that we're reading from, verse 30, the name of the Messiah was a mystery. It was unknown. But we have the name of the Messiah in our era. We've known it for the last 2,000 years. And it's about time for the establishment of all the ends of the earth, or the reestablishment of the ends of the earth, to occur, and his appearance on his fiery throne in his white garments. Matter of fact, there's going to be a program on the tribal family called White, the Color of Judgment. And we're going to deal with white and what it symbolizes in biblical literature. So there you have it. What we'll do, this collection of verses will be preserved in a note on the Messiah, and they will include commentary, and they will be available on African Aramean Scriptures, the group, and on the African Polygyny Tribal Family. That'll be placed over there. But we'll definitely preserve the African Aramean Scriptures for those of you who have already members and haven't checked out the notes in a while. Let you know to go ahead and you can study that, and it'll be probably quite lengthy note. If anybody has any questions or comments, you can dial in at area code 323-580-5707. This is prime time. This is likely, I think this will be the last installment on this program. So if not, probably wrap it up. And y'all can catch me on Facebook, or message the group. This message also will be posted on Archaic, Aramean, Canaanite, and Hebrew, and Ge'ez. This is an epigraphy page. So this stuff will be there as well for those of you who are interested in keeping track of issues regarding writings of the scriptures preserved by the Ethiopians, Cushites, and in the Black Hebrews, the Hebrews that are still Black. And the address is facebook.com/ archaic. That's ARCHAIC Aramaic, ARAMAIC. And you can keep up with some other issues regarding biblical literature and inscriptions there. Alright, and we'll see y'all next week, when we will discuss Satan, Hasatan, the adversary. We'll discuss Satan, other names of Satan, origins, and all information regarding their identity, taken from the book of Hanukkah or the book of Enoch, what is known as the Old Testament, that body of writings, New Testament. We'll look at it and we'll see what these beings are, this being is, and what their history is and their function in the world, and their destiny. We'll cover that, and we'll start that one next week. All right, and hope y'all have a good week. Shavua Tov, and Shalom.
I'm at it again. Same topic, I'm dropping, keeping them moving. Showing attitude to all of you that hate what I'm doing with my music. Reciting Moses and David, having you flipping his pages. The show is talking to me, but you debated. I ain't trying to start a war with you. It's all love, the key to unlock the prophecy from heaven above. So if you wanna understand what he plans to do, read his book and take heed in what's demanded of you. Enlighten your mind with what he gives us. You're living off of faith, ain't no pictures. Open up your eyes before your time's up. Time keeps it cracking, but put the nonsense behind you. Enlighten your mind with what he gives us. You're living off of faith, ain't no pictures. Open up your eyes before your time's up. Time keeps it cracking, but put the nonsense behind you. Study the Bible with an open mind and common sense. Find yourself a quiet place where no distractions exist. Say a prayer, beg him for understanding and wisdom. You'll be amazed at what he gives for the time you give him. And by all means, fellowship with only those on God's team. So you won't be led astray by man-made beliefs, spreading lies and deceit to us lost sheep. Ecclesiastes 12:12-14. This is the reality we need to learn to love, cause this time is near. And I wanna see all of us together at the covenant house. I wanna see all of us together. So enlighten your mind with what he gives us. You're living off of faith, ain't no pictures. Open up your eyes before your time's up. Keep it cracking, but put the nonsense behind you. Enlighten your mind with what he gives us. We living off of faith, ain't no pictures. Open up your eyes before your time's up. Keep it cracking, but put the nonsense behind you. Every move that we make, every breath we take, every deed that we do, every hand we shake, all the hearts that we break, all the lies we tell, all these deities, all the blasphemies we yell. Don't you know he's aware? Nothing's out his reach. What they do in the White House and what we do in the streets. See, I'm just like you, searching for truth and shelter. But in order to see it, you and I must come together. And that's the only way it's going down. You're either going to accept it, or you're going to reject it. But either way, he's on his way.
He's on his way.
So you best align your mind.
Enlighten your mind with what he gives us. We're living off of faith, ain't no pictures. Open up your eyes before your time's up. Keep it cracking, but put the nonsense behind you. Enlighten your mind with what he gives us. We're living off of faith, ain't no pictures. Open up your eyes before your time's up.
Open up your eyes.